There's no other way to say it. There was a robbery that took place, and they got away with it. 70,000 people and many more at home were robbed, stolen from, in plain sight. It happened at Kinnick Stadium versus Minnesota. We're going to talk about it here. Cooper, you're a magical man. Let's have a day. Let's go.
That's just kind of how that's how this podcast should start off. Us not knowing what the fuck's going on, just like Tim O'Reilly, O'Day, oh fuck boy, doesn't know anything about anything, and he needs to be crucified in front of the people. There's only one way to pay for those sins, and that's with his life. Fuck you, dude. Go to hell.
Again, Tim O'Reilly, whoever is out, that is out there, just taking uncalled for shots. That's not the guy's name.
Some dude driving his truck to work was excited to listen to the show.
Probably a Tim O'Reilly that listens to our show, and he's just like, what the fuck did I do?
Poor guy.
Just catching random shots. Yeah. I don't even know how to open this up other than I don't know. There is no other than there's just, I don't even know where to start off this fucking podcast at. Let's start it off this way. Drake,
we did not deserve to win the football game. Let's start it off with that.
Okay. Of course not. No, we did not.
That was one of the most horrendous performances I've ever seen any group of 11 try and put on. In the history of the game, if we're being honest, that's an all-time historically bad offensive performance by an all-time historically bad offense.
Do you rank it below what we saw versus Penn State
earlier this year? Yes.
Despite the fact that we doubled our yardage, we had 127 total yards. Except versus Penn State, we had like 60-something.
In the second half, an inferior defense to Penn State held us to what felt like negative yards.
It was 2 yards in the second half.
I mean, that is just absolutely inexplicable.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, this is not Penn State's defense. This is a very average defense. We lost that game to a very subpar football team. Like, that's a football team that, you know, if we win that game, they don't go to a bowl game.
That's a 6-win type of football team.
They might not even go to bowl games yet still. That was a – you know, Minnesota had been decent from like 2019, 2020, 2021. They are not even – they're bad this year. They are a bad football team, and we saw it too. I remember just sitting in the stands, it's like – it's like 10-9 at one point, and I'm starting to get a little nervous. And then their quarterback just throws like two balls straight in the dirt. I'm like, well, thank God that he fucking sucks too. Because, man, that is a bad football team that we just lost to.
They're dog shit, and somehow our offense can make up for the fact that we have really good defense that plays consistently good football, and we can just fuck that up so well.
Well, yeah, I was talking to my dad here after the game, and if I just pulled these three stats, how much would you think you lost by? 127 total yards, 11 rushing yards, and you lost the turnover battle 3-0.
I would have said football team, you got beat by 35.
Right, exactly. I know we've talked about like how Iowa is able to win games, and it's with dominating defense and good special teams and just get something on offense, but there was nothing on offense there. 127 yards, right? Roughly half of those came on one just kind of fuck it throw to Deontay Vines down the field in the, on the very first drive. That probably accounted for 40 of the 127 yards. The one touchdown drive, I believe we got the ball around the 40-yard line. Third down, they get a 15-yard face mask penalty. Would have been a sack. We get a 15-yard face mask penalty. A couple plays later, 15-yard pass interference. Couple plays later, offsides, ends up being a 3-yard play. Couple plays later, they get an unsportsmanlike conduct, moves the ball from the 1-yard line to the half yard line, and then we finally sneak it in. Of like the 60 yards of that drive, like 35 of them were penalty yards. They basically gave us our one touchdown that we got. And then we moved the ball on the first drive, largely thanks to a good play by Deontay Vines. Great catch. But that was our offense for the game. That was it. If you pull up all the other drives, there is nothing happening.
G-Bon.
Second half drives. This is the summary of them. Three plays punt, two plays fumble, three plays punt, three plays punt, three plays punt, three plays punt, three plays interception. And again, like it was.
Yeah. And again, like if you're going to be a historically bad offense, which is what we are, we know it. We've accepted it for the last 4 weeks,
3 years.
Yeah. But again, this is falling off a cliff compared to last
year. Right. This is
like last year was bad. This year is, I understand we've gotten horrendous injuries that are critical, but this is historically bad. But if you're going to be historically bad and you can win on defense and special teams, because you're just so good in those areas and you're playing some very average to subpar opponents, you have to hold on to the football. And both of the fumbles were very, very avoidable fumbles. Like the first one, he held on to that fucker way too damn long. The second one, the guy is blitzing. It's kind of in his face. He tries to sidestep him. First off, he's holding the ball way too low. It's like at his belly button. He's got to be holding that ball up.
You are not Mike Vick, dog.
Exactly. It's like either take this, get rid of it, or tuck the ball, take the sack. Yeah, you are not moving out of the way of, I think it was a safety blitz. And there's just no reason that that ball should end up on the ground. Thankfully, to our defense, we hold them with 3 and out, and they kick a 30-yard field goal, but they didn't need a touchdown to win this game. They kicked 5 field goals. They made 4 of them. But yeah, our offense just gave them the ball in the red zone twice. They missed one. I don't know if we end up getting a hand on that one. It's hard to see from the stands. So they get 12 points.
All that being said,
9 of them.
All that being said, all the things you can't do, which we did, the defense still put us in a position, and Cooper DeJean won the football game, and it was flat taken away from us for the second year in a row. Just completely stolen.
I mean, do we talk about it now? Is it time to get into it?
Somebody explain something to me. Kevin, say something that's going to make sense to me.
I can't make sense of the call. So you may remember, Drake, back when we were playing, that we were coached on how to identify a short ball, right?
Point.
It used to be that you could make, like, for the listeners, you could make the pass incomplete sign, or waving safe your hand. Sign.
Yeah,
the safe sign, waving your hands like in an incomplete signal type of motion. We were then coached, because the coaches talked to the refs and the rules committee, that is what's called an invalid fair catch sign. So you can field the ball so that it doesn't keep bouncing forward, but you can't advance that. So from that point on, this is 8+ years ago, we were taught to point. If the ball is going to be short and you're worried about it hitting one of your one of your blockers. You're yelling, Peter Poison. What do we yell? Poison?
Peter, I think.
One of the two. And you're pointing. You can point and still recover the ball, advance the ball. That is what we were always told by the refs. That was what we were always coached to do. And that's the way it's been for forever. The fact that they overturned that play.
On replay
from a very poor angle is unconscionable.
But not even that. They made a call on something they didn't even go to replay to look at.
Also bullshit.
They made something up while watching the replay. He just created something out of thin air and said, oh, now this is what's going to ruin the game.
Yeah. So in the stands, right? It's like touchdown. Holy shit. We actually fucking pulled this one off. Didn't look like we're going to be able to pull this one off. So we somehow did it again. And then they announced replay. I'm like, ah, shit. Did he step out of bounds there? And it's hard to see. They pulled up. It's like, I don't think he stepped out there. They pull up like the sideline view. He's like, and we're looking at the steps. He's like, not there, not there, not there, not there. And then he cuts back to the middle of the field and the crowd goes crazy again. It's like, we know he didn't step out of bounds. This is going to be confirmed. And then for some reason, the replay keeps going for like another 2 minutes. Like, all right, they're really taking their time with this one, but I can't see what's possibly getting confirmed. And they come out with that fucking call.
What happened in the stadium?
People started going ape shit and throwing shit on the field.
So it turned into an Ole Miss game. Fans throwing beers on the field.
Because I was on my way to the Arizona Diamondbacks playoff game, so I was listening to it. So funny enough, I was actually at the dispensary when Cooper scored the touchdown, and I was leaving said shop and listening to it while driving up. Sounded like pandemonium broke out.
It did. Yeah.
It sure. Dickhead.
Yeah. It's all good.
It's cool, dude. Congratulations on locking yourself out of your own house, you fucking bozo. I'm calling you Tim O'Reilly O'Day O'Hallahan.
Is that the ref?
One of those names is the ref.
So we're just talking about the call here now. And you can maybe make the argument that he was waving his left hand from an overhead view under slow motion. But if you watch the field view from the end zone view, the view that the Minnesota punt team had, basically, you can see he's pointing with his right hand. And he's actually pointing with his left hand a little bit too. It's waving out to the side because guess what? Running in a non-linear form with your one arm pointing out, you kind of need a little counterbalance there.
It requires a counter movement, yeah.
And his hand never comes above shoulder height. He's not making the clear incomplete sign that is we're told is an invalid fair catch that you can't advance the ball. He's not making that sign. No Minnesota player is let up once he actually does field the ball. The long snapper goes to tackle him right away. There's no marker tossed by an official. No one blows it dead. No one on the Minnesota sideline is thinking, hey, he signaled dead ball or fair catch.
The play went on.
Yes, the play went on. The fact that they look at this thing for 5+ minutes and think, and are able to say indisputably that he made an invalid fair catch signal is fucking mind blowing.
It means the ref sold it.
Inconscionable.
Just like last year.
Inconscionable that's the ruling they come with. Because again, you have to look at that play in real time and that you have to look at it from a field view angle. If you're looking at it from overhead, yeah, you can see his arms waving around. But it's not waving in a clear, like, incomplete signal, safe signal. Like, he's not doing that. He's, like, moving, like, 30 degrees out to his left because from like straight parallel to 30 degrees in front of him because he's trying to keep his balance. And I still can't fathom how they come back after review and say indisputably that this is a dead ball. It makes no fucking sense to me. It makes absolutely no fucking sense to me. And I was heated about this one for quite a bit. I'm still so mad.
I'm still heated, actually. You guys know that
I'm getting madder about it.
You know what made me actually more pissed off?
The fact that we know it's a fucking sell job?
Is the explanation that they put out there. I would have much rather had them say, you know what? It was a close call. Could have gone either way. But ultimately, we decided to overturn it. The fact that they come out and say, I'll read the fucking quote here. Oh, fuck me. Let's start with definitions that surround the play. With regard.
How fucking puke of him to start that statement with, let's start. Like he's laying the groundwork. He's about to enlighten people. Oh my God, that's just
with regard to it, there are valid and invalid signals that can be given during a kick play. An invalid signal is waving motion by a receiving team member that happens throughout the kickoff. So again, we were always told by referees that's like when you're making the incomplete sign.
You'll see
returners do it all the time. Again, you can field that ball to prevent it from bouncing further down the field. You can't advance it. He's not doing that. It's a very minimal side-to-side motion with one arm, which is not even close to above the shoulder, above the head. And he's also pointing with that finger, too, if you look at it from the field view. So he's not doing that. That's the first piece of information you have to apply here. The second piece comes in from Rule 6, is that any catch or recovery of a kickoff after an invalid signal causes the ball to become dead upon the recovery of a catch. Those are basis for what we made a decision on after seeing the play. So, yes, if you do make that signal, it's a dead ball. The fact that they can indisputably say that he made that signal is what is absolutely crazy. Going back to the play, the receiver makes a pointing gesture with his right hand, and he makes multiple waving gestures with his left hand.
That's such a...
bullshit.
That's such... Okay, I don't know if you guys talked about this before I fucking unlocked my way into my own house. Did you guys talk if this call was made by one of the actual officials at the game, or was it made by a booth?
We have no idea.
Because I've seen on Twitter that this was likely made by the replay official that was not on the field, which makes it even more fucking egregious.
I believe that too. And I am 100% with you that the fact that there is some man behind the curtain, the fucking Wizard of Oz and God knows where, who's saying, looks at this thing under a fucking fine tooth microscope at fucking 3 pixels per fucking second.
After the fact.
Yeah.
In not real time. How does a guy sitting behind a monitor throw back a play that, and I get that the magnitude of a play shouldn't matter, but like, wow.
But that is an all-time historic play.
I'm going to go back to the quote here. The waving motion of the left hand constitutes an invalid fair catch signal. So when receiving team recovers ball, by rule becomes dead. So that is a reviewable element of the game. We let the play run out and then we went to review. Yeah, you let the play run out because you thought it was fucking bullshit.
Absolutely, I don't
fucking bullshit. Review shows with indisputable evidence that there's a waving motion of the left hand, and that is when these rules are applied. I fucking lost it when I said that there is no bullshit, because there's not one damn referee on the field. There's not one fucking player on the punt team on the Minnesota sideline. And they obviously didn't have all the views. And if you don't have the correct views, there's no way you should be able to overturn it. But if you look from the fucking end zone view, the view of all the players again, there's no fucking way. There's just simply no fucking way. You can see it with his actual left hand. He's still pointing. Just doing it in a manner so he doesn't fucking fall down because he's running from side to side, avoiding people, trying to track a football.
Which is hard to do.
And They absolutely robbed Iowa. They robbed Coupe de Jean. And like that would have been all time, not Kinnick Stadium moment.
All time.
I understand it's not a
rivalry
very big
moment.
It's a huge rivalry, right? I understand it was a shitty football game, but when your offense again is not able to do anything, and you're able to pull off a punt return again with six guys surrounding you, and you're able to
the still somehow, image is unbelievable.
Somehow crib it to save your team with a minute and a half left in the game. Like that's fucking storybook, man. That's like shit that they play when they induct you into the college
football Hall. That's Heisman Trophy type of shit.
Heisman Trophy ass shit.
They fucking did it. I'm sitting here in disbelief. They did it.
But the same guy robbed Jack in the same fucking game last year.
Yeah,
tell me that this isn't a total sell job. This guy isn't fucking playing against us in an active manner.
Can someone check this guy's FanDuel account? This guy's got a FanDuel account for sure.
Yeah, check his family's FanDuel account.
He's definitely not using Betfred because that's a totally respectable organization who sponsors this podcast, and they would never let any shitbag like that guy on their platform. I can't believe I'm sitting here in
utter disbelief, right? Like it would have been a touchdown. Iowa goes up four, pending extra point. Minnesota gets the ball back with a minute 20 and two timeouts, and there's no way they would need a touchdown, and there's just no way.
The thing that I come back to, and there's actually a thing that makes me feel even more sick, and I'll get to that in a second. The thing that I keep coming back to is that it wasn't called on the field because in real time, which is where sports happen, the punt team, the punt return team, their sideline, the officials, the fans, everybody at home watching on TV, not a single person thought, oh, he called fair catch.
And how in God's name does that not get taken into account when you're watching the replay 90 times over in that 5 minute span? You're fucking listening to people talking to you in your ear. You're watching the replay and you don't just look and see all 22 players played that play from whistle to whistle, dude, from snap to score. All 22 dudes played that play the whole time.
But more importantly, the refs let it go. The refs on the field in real time did not call it because it did not happen. What about the on-field judgment call? They made a judgment call on the field that, I don't judge what he did as a fair catch. There's your judgment call. You made it in real time. How does some fucking slapdick go back on it?
Yeah, the fact that this was able to be overturned is unbelievable. And here... This is the view. This is the view that shows this is an all-time hose job here. You can go ahead and play in full speed. Again, go ahead and
I think he is. It's just very laggy on this.
Here, yeah. Just kind of above his shoulder. He's pointing with his left hand, actually, too. You can't see that from the view that they overturned it on.
Yeah.
Both fingers just pointing at the ball. Just clear as day, you can see both of his index fingers pointing in the same spot, just pointing at the ball. And all he's doing is kind of moving his left arm back and forth in a running motion. He is just semi-running with that arm and pointing with that arm.
It's astounding.
I mean, there needs to be repercussions because of this.
Lauren asked me that last night. She goes, and you know, she's not an Iowa fan.
How the fuck are we not 7-1? Because like, how do they not just say that?
She goes, that's a horrible fucking call. Right. And she's watching, she didn't even watch the game. She's watching the Huskers play. I don't even know who they put. And she's like, is he going to face actions for that? And I was like, no. I mean, he might, their crew or he specifically might not, within the refs association or whatever, be eligible for like a playoff game now because he'll get dinged for internally, which will never come out. I'd love to know because they get graded.
This same ref actually was suspended a few years back
for the Oklahoma
Central Michigan.
Put him in jail. He needs a life suspension.
They straight up messed up the rules that ended up costing Oklahoma State the game.
I guarantee, and not that you would find, you know, it's a very small percent anyway, but you won't find this guy in the playoffs or probably any major bowl game because he's going to get dinged. And internally, they use those grading reports on the refs for who gets the biggest games at the end of the year. It's the same thing in the
March games, guys who get promoted to the NFL too. Like,
yeah, NFL. They use it in high school. High school guys are the best graded crews in Iowa, at least in Iowa. I imagine they do it everywhere. Best graded crew gets the state tournament or the state playoff games, and then eventually the dome. Like they'll get graded internally. I just
want some sort of acknowledgement that this was the wrong call. That's what I can move on if it was. Hawks lost. It's over. Can't rewrite it, right? I just want somebody to acknowledge that this is fucking bullshit.
How much more crooked does it look if then they come out and they're like, okay, you guys are right. It was the wrong call. Because then it looks like they made that statement just to cover up how fucking crooked they are selling this game.
And here's a point that, you know, we'll maybe
say. This is some Tim Donnelly shit.
We'll segue with this because there is a lot of actual analysis to maybe be made about this game, or maybe not. Maybe we don't really want to. We don't give a shit because it was an ugly game otherwise. But you're gonna hear the opinion, and you can roll with it, you know, or not. That we didn't deserve to win this game anyway.
We already went over that. We didn't.
But it doesn't matter because neither did Minnesota.
Nope. And we said the exact same thing. And we said, and the play was made. Whether we deserved it or not, the play was made.
And because I know that because it was a 12-10 ball game where they kicked four fucking field goals and we played offense like we played offense. But even worse, and this is what makes me the most sick, is, and I'm so pissed that I had to hear it because I turned the game off after we threw the pick with a minute left or whatever. I turned the game off right there. I turned the TV on this morning and I have YouTube TV. And I happened to open it up and it was like still playing in the spot that I was last night or like the post game. And I caught the PJ Fleck interview and you can hear him. And then they interviewed a player too. And in both his player and his interview, you hear him out of breath, like almost like in shock. And it is plain as day that they realize that they just got gifted an absolute miracle and that they walked out of there with a true robbery, and they're flabbergasted by it, and they couldn't be more elated, and it made me want to fucking throw up.
I'm just glad we called timeouts after the pick so that I could get in the tunnel before that game actually ended, and I didn't have to fucking watch those fuckers.
I saw that
take Floyd.
Yeah,
I don't think I could have borne watching that. So this is my thought is
Broncos won, by the way, Grant.
So my thought is thank God we have a bye coming up, right? Because this has to be a game that is harder than almost any other than I can imagine for observing the 24-hour rule when you're absolutely cucked like that.
I was, before I got locked out of my house, I was going to open this podcast with the first thing after Drake introed it with, well, I know I'm not into being cucked because didn't like what happened yesterday. So I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin.
But imagine you got to get ready for another game this week. Like,
I think
this one is harder than a blowout win versus a rival or a top five opponent, or you just got your ass kicked, or a tough loss in a, I, for some reason, I feel like this is a game that is harder to get over and focus on the next one just because they literally got taken away from you.
On the other side of that, do you think there's a chance that it could be bad? It's 2 weeks to dwell on that shit.
I don't know.
But you're right.
It's going to take a strong leadership, strong culture within that locker room to get the guys' minds right to move on to the next phase. You know, us being guys who are, 5-6 years out of the locker room now and still pissed about it 24 hours later is like, if you're on that team and you literally just had that ripped away from you, you were the you were the senior class that lost the pig for the first time in 8 years because of that bullshit. You let Minnesota win in Kinnick for the first time since 99 because of that bullshit. That's the shit that eats you up, man.
That's gonna, that game's gonna,
and it takes down. It takes a strong individual, a strong culture, and a strong team to be able to swallow that and move on.
I haven't felt,
which is what you have to do.
That game's gonna eat them like the Big Ten championship eats us for the rest of forever. Dude. They're gonna think about that one because it happened how it happened.
But for the next 4-5 weeks, they have to be able to flush it. You can dwell on it when you're done and retired like us, but.
I was just
if you want to be able to move on and continue to strive for your goals of this season, you have to somehow flush it, which is hard to do. It's going to take some mental fucking toughness.
I was literally about to say that, at least relative to us, we talk all the time. The joke is that I don't like football and I'm not a fan. I mean, to some extent, it's not a joke, but that I hate people. I hate people who are fans. I hate people who care and are passionate about football and all this stuff.
I'm going to clip that, by the way.
Okay. Thank you. Any way you can make me look worse would be great. I move on very quick because of that disposition. Like, and I think I'm partially just how I built as a human, but also the position I played. I'll stick to my guns on this. I say it all the time. Because I had to play long snapper, and I think kickers and punters are the same way, you're almost playing a different game within the game. Like you're not playing, you're just in this totally other world, right? Doesn't matter what happens on the field, pick six, you're down 100-0. You have to go out there and perform regardless of emotion. And so I think I just learned to turn that off. And because of that, I would move on really, really quick, quicker than most of the guys on our team, I think. Also a sociopath, so that helped. And I'm burning. Haven't felt like this about an Iowa football game for a long fucking time. I'm burning. And I actually, the only thing I can think of is the Big Ten championship, is a game that made me feel this.
Yeah, but that one didn't piss you off, man, because that was a good fought game.
Just the
they got the better of us.
Yes,
but barely.
But the hurt.
It hurt. It hurt.
The hurt. Right?
You weren't out. I wasn't pissed off after that one. Like, it was a good game, fair and square. They won, but it hurt.
But I'm still hurt. One,
like, I'm angry.
Yeah, I'm
very
hurt.
Rarely am I angry after a loss, right?
Yeah, I'm hurt. I woke up this morning and my first thought was, because I didn't open my phone today, because I'm following all the Iowa people. I'm following all the news out. Like, all I'm going to see is this fucking play on repeat. And I just didn't want to subject myself to that. So I didn't open my phone until I text you guys basically that I was locked out of my house. And I just, in the morning, we're kind of laying there with playing on the ground with baby girl, Ken Diesel. And I just thought about the podcast going on tonight. And I was like, I feel really icky. Like, I feel a yucky feeling about this game. It, like, not even as just as a football observer in general, it feels wrong. It feels like
you just got cucked. Feels like
it feels like we got cucked. If you're just a fan tuning into that game at 6 whatever last night, you know, you cheer for somebody else, but you're like, we'll tune into the Iowa Minnesota game. It's close late. We'll see what happens. You got cucked as a football fan.
Straight up cucked.
And I don't know how Cooper doesn't burn buildings down.
So this is my other thing, is like, you see the reaction that he has. He's like, yeah, the surprise head on the hands on the head. He's a better man than I. And he also had to, you know,
answer. He had to answer
the questions post game, address it, and just sit there and take it. Me, I would have been on the hotter side. I would have been irate, and they would have had to hold me back from getting back on the field.
I would have had a 3-game suspension.
I would have for sure gotten suspended.
I mean, like, you know it's bad when KF gets up and said what he said. Like, he's the dean of college football. He'll hold his tongue in most situations where most coaches wouldn't.
In a press conference situation, he almost always does, right?
And he got up there and said,
like, he'll let the refs know what he thinks on the field. Like, you'll see him get heated with the ref on the field every now and then. But for him to be calmed down post-game and then publicly
say it's hard to accept.
Denounce the a ref call, which is a finable offense in the Big Ten. Like,
fucking
the guy said, there's like, I am going to pay money for this, but that was bullshit.
I mean,
and you know what? The other fact of what it is was in the crowd. It's like, all right, now we have it on the 46 yard line. We need 20 yards for a shot of the field.
That's all we needed, man.
And I'm looking around, and there's no one who's very optimistic about that happening.
Well, we couldn't get 20 yards in the half, let alone in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's first and 10. You got a minute 30, two timeouts, one timeout. I forget. One timeout.
Because they decided to pass.
We take a fucking sack on first and 10. Can't take a sack.
Fucking man.
Offensive line with a major regressment this game.
Where did that go?
I don't know.
Where did we go? Here's my only theory is they are stack in the box because they know we can't throw.
Even pass protection, man. They're getting home 3-4 man rushes.
I know.
Just running straight by guys.
Like, what are we like, boys? What, like, we like, had the
we,
same-
we were all happy about how they played versus Wisconsin. Big improvement. The guard and center play on both guards and center play this past game was last year again. It was horrible. You can't win football games like that.
You shouldn't even be in football games. What did we get? Did we get 2 yards in the second half?
Two total.
2 yards.
I mean, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
2 yards?
It's just indescribable.
At this point, and I know people want to go to Brian again. People want to go to Brian. People, it's everybody. It's Brian. It's the players. It's the confidence that the offensive side of the ball has. What are we doing? Because we had Brian as an OC in 17, right?
17, 18, 19.
We got a lot more than 2 yards. He was calling the same place. Playbook hasn't changed.
It has a little bit, but not a whole lot. And
it's changed because of personnel.
Yeah, it's changed to try and help.
Yes, it has changed due to the fact that the personnel
slightly changed.
Shit, right?
I mean, what?
Again, yes, bad injuries. Your top two
injuries are threats,
bad. We're dropping footballs again.
Fucking A.
Some throws are in the fucking sea of green with no one anywhere near it. I remember saying after the Michigan State game that, I think we can win with Deacon Hill at quarterback. Like, I thought he showed me something that was, able with the way that our defense and special teams player that we could win football games with. And
if that's the product, I don't know if it's true.
No, for the last 3 games have shown that that's not the case.
He's not a Division I quarterback.
I'm hashtag the parents. I'm the hashtag Ferentz apologist on the show. We know that, right? Because the fans said so, and they're always right. But like, when do you go to Joey Labus? Like, when do you throw?
So here's the issue: the true
freshman in there and just say, "Hey, fuck it." I mean, we're 0-for anyway with 2 yards. And
here's the issue with that, right? Is he was a third stringer coming into the year, right? Which means as far
I know,
as
he's got no reps goes.
Your first quarterback gets 45% of them. Your second quarterback gets 40% of them. Third string quarterbacks get maybe 15% of the reps during practice from spring through until season. Once season comes around, you're a scout team quarterback.
But Kev,
he's also hurt during camp.
I understand the injury could be a factor that we don't really know about either. Like, he still might not be fully – he might look like shit in practice. And they're just like, dude, you're hardly healthy enough to be practice. Like, you're not back. But, like, we're to the point – where the product on the field, and it was maybe okay if Deacon doesn't fumble twice, but if you're going to play like shit, don't complete passes, and you start to turn it over, then you can put anybody else on the roster in that spot, and it's hard to do worse.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what is the hard part here is we could have been horrible on offense. If we don't turn the ball over 3 times, we still
win the fucking game. Jesus Christ.
Which is unbelievable.
We just talked about turnovers.
We would win the game with 127 yards of total offense. We just hold on to the ball. That's all we needed to do.
Which is another reason why
hold on to the ball.
Yeah, which is another reason why you can't use the, we didn't deserve to win the game. Because when you say we, it implies everyone. And two-thirds of that team did deserve to win the game. And the it's not necessarily that the fact that they don't, you know, their product, what they put out performance-wise maybe doesn't deserve it. It doesn't mean they don't deserve it. They've put in the work. They've still practiced. Like, the team did deserve to win that game.
As a team, no. It's a team game. Believe it or not, the offense is part of the team. And as a sum of the three phases, there was not enough there that say, yes, they were clearly the best team on the field that day and deserved to win the game.
I'm kind of with Kevin on that one, brother.
You can't get a 2-1 outgained in yardage wise and say you deserve to win this game.
But it's
3-0 in turnovers and say you deserve to win this game.
But you're still 12-10 and without a bullshit call.
And that we talked about it before you got on here. That 10, that touchdown came from we get the ball like the 40-yard line, 15-yard face mask, 15-yard. Pass interference, 3 yards from the offside penalty.
Thanks, Minnesota, another yard from
unsportsmanlike, and then we sneak it in.
Have you ever seen a breakdown in fucking mental, from the Nebraska side? I've never seen anything like that. They gave us 50 yards in penalties, and we had 50 yards to go.
That was a touchdown.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. 35 of the 50-something yards were penalty yardage.
I've never seen anything.
And another thing, like, we gave up too many penalty yards to win, too. I think we had 60 yards in penalty yards. We cannot afford to give up any if we're only – we're averaging, like, 230 yards of offense, I think, this year, maybe less. We cannot give up another 60 yards of yardage.
We've got a – who's the true freshman? Is it what's this kid's name? Linez? Is it Marco Linez? Grant, will you find the roster for me? Here's my suggestion. Let's make him number one. Hey, we'll have a 4-year starter. I guess Cade's coming back next year. So
No. I don't think that's the way forward. I mean, something has to. I know we're not huge at Iowa about changing things up mid year, but we can't.
Here's the thing, though.
We've always been on the coach's side, right?
Still are.
But we cannot keep rolling out what we've rolled out for the last, you know, it worked somehow the previous three games, but it's
like everyone said this past week, if you're going to win, we'll deal with it. If you don't win, you got to answer for it.
But this was also substantially worse than the previous 3 weeks, too.
By far, yeah.
So, like,
dude, we got 2 yards.
If what we saw versus Michigan State, Purdue, and Wisconsin is the goal, and you know that's what we can get to, that means if you're not on playing your best ball, that you're going to get what you got versus Minnesota and versus Penn State. I don't care how good your defense and special teams are. It's hard to win. Like, we lost the game. We didn't give up a touchdown. There's not much more you can ask the defense to do.
I know.
I mean,
I feel like I'm so sick.
I mean,
I feel so sick.
So it used to be a joke as far as put Cooper in at quarterback and run the Wildcat. It's not. I don't believe that's a joke anymore. I truly believe that we'll gain more yards if we.
Kev,
have like an option running attack back there.
Kev, I truly
believe that now.
In the second half, Kevin, we could have put Drake back at fullback. Me,
fuck that. Snap me the ball and I will gain more than 2 yards in one half. I promise you that.
I'm not joking when I say this. With us three still being in great shape right now, at 29 years old, not having a single day inside that complex. 2 yards offensively, you could have put Kevin at X receiver, me at running back, and Drake at QB, and we might have gained more. And that's because just out of luck.
This is why I'm actually serious about this. And you know, you can make the argument that Cooper is needed at cornerback because we're thin at cornerback and we can't risk losing him on offense. But I don't care who you put back there, whether it's Wetchin, somebody who can read a defensive end, hand the ball off or keep it and run around.
Give me Cade.
Because believe it or not, all the plays are, you know, the offensive line knows the plays. It's inside zone or it's outside zone. It's a gap. And it's just the quarterback reading, what does the end do? Does he crash? Pull it. Does he stay? Give it. We can run those plays and we'll have more success.
Dude.
That's a simple install. Correct me if I'm wrong, Drake.
We can install
that play in a day.
Dude. Those plays are already in our playbook. We just don't run them with this quarterback.
We delete the quarterback room, but put the fucking construction cone in front of the quarterback meeting room. That room no longer matters. We're taking our three running backs who are athletes. We're pulling Caden Weechen and Cooper over to the offensive side of the ball, and we're running the Baltimore used to run the Heisman set with Mark Ingram. And I mean, like, just start
RG3
and Lamar Jackson, and just show some ball fakes, show some RPO, have Cooper throw it one out of every 10 times. So there's still a threat there. And
the service academies, you'll have like one that's gets ranked every so often. You can win football games by just running.
Absolutely.
The ball. But the fact is you need a running quarterback to do it, because otherwise you're playing with 10 guys guys handing off the ball. You need a threat at running back at quarterback, because if you're playing option, he's accounting for another guy. Another guy has to account for him as a runner. You're basically blocking another guy with him.
Right.
If you're just turning around and hand the ball off, you're playing 10 on 11. And
hey, and guess what? It's a bye week. We got 2 weeks.
Since we have no threat of throwing the ball, you're going to get stacked boxes.
And it was disgusting. It was gross to watch them throw the replay on. What was that guy's name? The white linebacker. He had some sick last name for a linebacker.
I don't know.
And he was eating. He was absolutely eating. And I've never seen a linebacker on his toes pre-snap like he was, because he knew they ain't fucking throwing the thing. And he was just filling holes like he was eating at Thanksgiving. He was filling holes like he was Johnny Sins, bro. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah. And
if you're under 18, don't Google that. Dude, I mean, they were eating.
Yeah. Just a regression at offensive line, poor quarterback play.
Let me tell you what, Caden,
couple of drop balls in the passing game. One of which I actually don't blame on the receiver. I think it was Seth Anderson. My dad made a good point.
The one in the sun.
Exactly. He came from a shaded part of the field into a sunny part of the field. So it's like he's just starting to peek around.
He got hit with a beam of God's laser.
It was extremely evident on TV too. He got fucked. But
yeah. So I don't put that one on him. But we dropped another couple balls. And when you have a struggling quarterback and an offense that's struggling to move the ball, you can't drop balls. You just can't do it. And
on a side note,
and that's been a thing all year long too, is we're dropping footballs.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, we're bad. We're bad. It is what it is. I do. If Caden Weechen ever gets in the fucking, if Caden Weechen ever gets into space, boy's going to boogie to the crib. He can skedaddle. He's itching to get some space, dude. Why not give him a shot on some fucking wild catch?
Because again, we have a bye week coming up.
Install. 2 weeks of install.
2 weeks of install, but we still have a very good chance of winning the West, right?
Yeah, crazily.
Because both Wisconsin and Minnesota have to play Ohio State. So it sucks to be them. But we have,
and as long as we beat Nebraska, you know, we win out and those two teams lose to Ohio State,
I think if we win three of the next four, we're still in the Big Ten championship.
Probably. Real quick, shout out to Ohio State. Their defense looked unbelievable this weekend.
Yeah, they're a good team. Their offense is moving a little bit better. They have a very good defense.
Thought Penn State was going to win that one.
Yeah, I thought they'd keep it close. They kind of did. They kind of ran away from late. We'll get to it in our betting segment here. But basically, Iowa coaching staff is looking at these next four games. And you have to evaluate where your offense has come since the previous injuries in the last four games with Cade, with Eric Gall, the Shea going down, is do we think we can win three or four of these next four games playing offense like we have played these last four games? And I'd say you got a 50-50 shot going into every game, which is saying a lot. We might be dogs versus Rutgers.
We might be. You're right.
Grant, can you see if there's a line out for the Iowa-Rutgers game? I know it's a few weeks in advance, but you know we'll probably be favored versus Northwestern. Northwestern is getting better. They're bad, but they're playing better. And they always play us tough. You know, fucking tough little nerdy white guys over there.
Tough little nerdy white guys.
Illinois is getting better.
No, I'm not seeing anything.
Illinois is getting better. They
played Wisconsin tough yesterday.
They almost beat Wisconsin. Nebraska is playing better. Like, are these teams good? No.
No, the West is dog.
But they are improving throughout the year. I can't say the same about Iowa as a team. The defense is playing better week to week.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple things from the game that we could have improved on. Jamari Harris got picked on a little bit. But, you know, giving up 12 points, four field goals, really only 9 points because one was a fumble on the 20-yard line. I you know, you're splitting hairs at that point. You have to look at these next four games. Like, can we win three or four of these games with the way our offense has been playing? I don't believe that. Maybe you get two. I think you're going to a coin flip every single game. So I think we have to change something, which, again, have never advocated for that in the show before, of doing an in-season fucking mashup, changeup.
Perfect week to do it, though.
But playing offense like we've played the last 4 weeks is not going to lead success for winning games the final 4 weeks. And we've said it again. I know this is not what we want to do to win.
It's what we have to do to win.
We don't want to abandon the passing game. We don't want to win tiny close matchups every single time, relying on special teams and defense to just do the work for us. But the fact of the matter is that this is a historically bad offense. I think I saw a stat that gets on pace to be the worst offense in college football since like 2009 or something like that.
I mean, yeah.
Which, I mean, bring up all the injuries you want.
You can't do that.
A Power 5 team should be able to overcome it.
You can't.
Better than this.
120 right? yards? Fuck.
These kids are getting paid significant amounts of money right now. Yeah. Like, you're getting paid almost, you're basically a professional at this point. You literally are one step away from the pros, like Big Ten football, NFL. It's one step away.
Can I hit a positive note real quick?
You should be able to put a better performance on the field than what you're doing. You should have a little bit more pride.
And they know that.
You should, I don't know. I don't care what you have to do, but it's embarrassing as an alumni to see that on the field. It's embarrassing. Tell me you don't feel the same way, Drake.
I have to answer to it so often, man. And it's
I hate that. I hate that fact. I
fucking hate being just,
because everyone I work with knows, like, yeah. Oh, you played Iowa football. What do you think about it? I was like, yep. I hate having those.
I don't want to talk about this shit.
No.
I went to a 3-year-old's birthday party yesterday and had to answer to it mid game.
Yeah, I hate thinking, oh, what do you think of Brian? What do you think of the offense? What do you think of Coach Ferentz? What do you think of the team? It's like, I love all those guys as human beings, but I hate having – it's again, it's embarrassing the fact
What sucks is, like, I think you have
the obligation to defend it, right?
Yeah. By the way, for those who are in my DMs every fucking weekend, I don't have influence, right? It does not matter what my opinion is. I had several people again DM me and tweet at me that this is unacceptable, yada, yada. This person needs to be fired. And to one person, I finally said, hey, why are you tweeting at me about it, buddy? And he goes, I don't know. You've got a platform and influence. And I was like, no. I could call Kirk right now. He doesn't give a shit.
He's not going to answer the phone, first off.
He ain't even taking the call, brother.
But
I think that's why people get mad that we've defended the team in the past, is because they think they're like, oh, if the walk-ons have like, if they start shelling a narrative out there, maybe the coaches will be like, oh, the walk-ons are saying they're disappointed. Like, that doesn't, that's not how it fucking works.
And again, like, yeah, we'll talk to our old coaches every now and then, like a couple times a year, right?
Yeah. Wally left me on red after the fucking Wisconsin game last week.
But yeah, we're not texting them after every game and getting our 2 cents. And again, we've said this before, everyone inside that building, no one's under any illusion of what's happening.
I'm fully aware,
painfully aware, and
more embarrassed than we are.
Probably. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, can I hit a real quick positive note before we recap betting and then
please do
wrap this up. Premier Automotive in North Liberty Auto. Yeah. Is that,
are we going to give this one to our kickoff guy?
Oh yeah. Premier Automotive. It's a North Liberty auto shop that provides auto body collision repair service on both foreign and domestic vehicles. Since 99, they've built their premier reputation on providing superior customer service, honest estimates, and high quality repairs. If you hit a deer, call Premier. And the Premier Automotive collision of the game goes to a beautiful, textbook, aggressive, legal hit by Carson Sharar out of Iowa Falls, Iowa. Went to Iowa Falls Alden High School. Buddy, don't change. Keep doing what you're doing. Because that was beautiful.
Man, I feel like a broken record. I say this every single year. I tweet it out at least once every year. What they have done to the targeting rule and what it's expanded and morphed into and this monstrosity, it's kind of cancerously grown into, is an absolute tragedy of what it's done to college football.
Yesterday was a perfect example.
I understand that we're not taking shots at defenseless receivers anymore and just annihilating them and eliminating them. We're not taking blindsided.
I thought you were about to say we're not taking back shots anymore.
We're not taking back shots. We're not blindsiding guys, de-cleating guys, back blocking on like punt returns or anything, kickoff returns, anything like that. I get that. I understand where that's a safety issue. But when we're not talking about a defenseless player and it's just a normal tackle within the sidelines, I don't care if he hits the head or neck area. I don't care. Like, it's a violent game. That is a form fucking tackle
by number 43 too.
Jewell tweeted it. Yeah,
he Pat very, Anger very and impressed. Josie Jewell would be proud, brother. Carson Sharar, shout out to you.
He was very impressed with it. And no, it's just wrong. It's just absolutely fucking wrong.
And you know what's horrible, Kev?
To change the fucking rule. And you know it's fucking horrible. It's disgusting what they're trying to do to the game.
They messed this one up after looking at it for 2 minutes too. I understand.
Again, I don't see how you can overturn this either.
Was this?
He hits him with his forehead on the guy's shoulder. He doesn't launch. He wraps up.
He steps through with his foot. It's a form tackle. It is literally how you teach tackling. He doesn't hit him in the neck. He doesn't hit him in the head. It's the shoulder pad.
And if the thing is, if he doesn't get hit by the other guy and kind of throws him off balance and it doesn't look like as hard of a hit, never gets reviewed.
Oh, God damn it. Carson Sharar, you savage, but, dude. Keep going and fucking like, heads.
Coaches, fans, athletic directors have to make noise because what they're doing is just fucking wrong. And it's even more wrong that athletes have to sit out for this. Like, maybe swallow the 15 yard penalty, right?
Sure.
The fact that guys are getting ejected for hits like that, like that's not egregious. He's not trying to hurt anybody.
Unreal.
Like they've done a good job of taking the shots out on defensive players. Like that's largely gone away in this game, right? You don't see that very often anymore.
Yeah.
This guy's taking headshots at receivers going up for a ball. Good. Fine. I can get behind that. But guys just making a hard football play in a violent collision sport. And we're saying, no, none of that. None of that. You got to sit out, buddy. That's way too fucking much.
A secondary nominee, by the way, outside of the Iowa game. I don't know if you guys saw this. The West Virginia friendly fire. Punt return. Guy, DB ran into his own returner and absolutely de-cleated him. I don't know if you'll be able to see it if Grant pulls it up. The link is on the document, Grant, if you scroll down there. If you just search West Virginia punt on Twitter, Grant, it'll come up, or click the link on the... this is one of the hardest hits of the weekend that I saw, and it was player on play. It was his own team. Quite honestly, beautiful. Just absolutely smoked. The other team recovered it, by the way, too. So DB gets beat. He's running back. There's another guy he doesn't want to block in the back, so he runs right through the face of his returner.
Oof.
Tough one.
Tough.
Okay. You made it sound like you didn't go over the betting recap. Sponsored by Betfred. You want to give us the recap, Grant, on what we were for the weekend?
Before I know I start. That, I want to give one final comment on the game.
Yeah,
please.
Cooper DeJean is officially the only player who I've ever felt the need to compare to Christian McCaffrey. I think what he does on a field far surpasses what his maybe absolute athletic ability would show, because he's not the absolute, he's not Tyreek Hill.
No,
but he has some special gene about him when it comes to football. He is a magical football player, dude. He's like Kobe Bryant with his mentality. He's like unflappable ice water type of dude. And the way he plays ball, only Christian McCaffrey has that type of magic that I've seen.
Skilled, smooth, skilled,
instinctual, smart.
Controls his body in space extremely well. It's like watching a savant play the piano.
I was just gonna say he has everything that you could want him to have, and then he has the one checkbox that almost nobody has, and it's the it factor. And he just, you can't describe what it is. You don't know when it's gonna show up, but he has it, and he is. I said when he did that in between him scoring the touchdown and getting called off, I looked at Lauren and I was just like, I don't know what it is, but the kid is magic. He has some form of superhuman ability, and he really does.
While we're giving shout outs, you know, not as loud of a week, but Sebastian Castro had another great game.
You're
not
kid booms.
Nothing in the stat sheet that you're going to see, but he's just a really good football player.
I think I'm at the point where I say Coop is on the ballot in the argument for the most electrifying Hawkeye of all time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know if I believed that before this last game. We'll save it for another time, but he's on the ballot now.
Betting recap.
How'd it go, Grant? What'd we do?
Are we starting with me then?
Anyone, just fucking read them off.
All right, so Kluver, you went 2-1.
Started well with James Madison.
Yeah, which I'm also claiming half credit for that win, by the way, just for putting you on to James Madison. So
okay.
All right. So, and you are now 13-11 on the year.
We'll take it.
What was his other games?
You had the under in Iowa, Minnesota, which was never a doubt. And then Oregon -20, unfortunately, did not work out.
Yeah, they only won by 14.
Kevin, you went 2-1 as well. You got the Penn State Ohio State under,
which was never a matchup. Yep.
And then they
did not cover the +4.
No.
So, and then Michigan absolutely dog walked Michigan State.
I said the ones that you got were just never in question the whole time. Like, you didn't really have to sweat much of going under 500 this week.
No. Good bets.
Drake, yours. So I believe the UFC parlay did hit.
UFC parlay hit.
Yeah. So congratulations there. And
how
then,
many wins are we giving him for that? 3, 4.
So I don't know, because then we also have to. I didn't give him 6 losses for Israel's loss earlier when you had to bet 6 units to win one.
It's probably one loss, right? And then. What was the parlay? It's +300, so it's probably worth 3 wins, right?
It was a 9-fight parlay.
Yeah, but how many of them were favorites?
You have to do what the odds were, because we're betting minus 110 odds, right?
It was so plus 2,400.
Well, then also, so then there's also
plus 2,490 or something.
I thought it was every Russian to win, so I took every Russian was like plus 370. But if it was every person whose last name ended in it was much higher.
Yeah,
but there was some confusion there as well on my end. But then Drake, I think you went you pushed Johnny Walker. Yeah. It seems there was can you explain the no contest?
Yeah, it was very, very weird. That was one of the weirdest things I've seen, because it was an illegal knee, but then he was trying to continue to fight, which he's allowed to as long as he's clear. And they had the doctor come in, and the doctor asked him where he's at. And he told the doctor that he was in the desert, which is like not wrong. But the doctor, with the language barrier and all this stuff, he just calls off the fight. So it was a very weird ending. And then the guys were like being held back and still trying to fight after it had been called off. Very weird situation.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the rest of them were winners. You had Islam, and then I don't know how to say this guy's name at all. Chimaev? Chimaev? Yeah.
Hamzat Chimaev.
Okay. And then those guys both won, right?
That's correct.
I watched Volkanovski get fucking rocked. I know that.
Yeah, he's got his noggin kicked off.
Yeah, tough one.
So then, Drake, you're at worst, you are now 6-5, and then we'll figure out how we score the parlay.
6-5? I didn't have a loss, dude.
Oh, it was a no contest. I'm sorry. Yeah, 6-4-1 then. And then for mine, I went 1-2.
All I know is that I'm the new betting king of this podcast, because that parlay just absolutely sent folks to the moon.
But how many of them were favorites, though?
It doesn't matter. It was a 9-bet parlay that hit. Kluver, you put one of those together. Go ahead. Give the folks on here a 9-bet parlay that hits the first time you try it.
Next week, I'll take the biggest. And I know it's
– Make sure that it's a plus 20 or 25-1 parlay. That's what it ended up, 25-1.
It's a great hit. I'm just saying, it's not like you chose, you know, it's not like you chose 9 against the spread.
Doesn't matter what I chose.
Took some money lines.
I chose 9 picks that came out to plus 2,500 and it hit for the folks. So that's all I know. I mean, you can pick it apart all you want. Try and beat it.
It's a great bet. People made a shitload of money. I'm just saying, what else, Grant?
Oh, sorry. And then I went 1-2.
Why am I seeing on our Instagram that the every Russian to win bet was plus 370?
Because again, so he said take every Russian on the last show, which I thought meant like everyone who had a Russian flag, I just put them together in a bet on Betfred, and it was plus 370. But that was only 6 names. So that Drake meant every Russian was also includes every person with a last name that ends in OEV or like a Russian sounding name, which was more people.
It included like Chechnyans and.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which it was bigger than just every Russian.
So that those extra 3 names pushed it from plus 370 to plus
2,500. I'll send you the bet slip of
very well done, Drake. Very impressive.
On the Discord.
So that was the confusion there.
Goose put up his bet slip. And plus 2,496.
That's pretty crazy. That's
very, very well done.
That's very impressive. It's a huge bet.
Any underdogs hitting that?
I don't believe there were underdogs, no.
Well,
maybe one. If there was an underdog, it was one.
Well, fair enough. Hey, I mean, it doesn't. Win is a win.
The folks win. That's all I care about. The folks got their coin while watching the fights.
This one's looking like plus 1,000. Said total stake is 10x.
Where's that?
Oh, El Halke Libre posted the Russian parlay.
Oh, he did a different one.
Okay, where am I looking at for?
Go all the way up to Goose. I tried the Putin par
plus 1,500.
No, that's not what it says, dude. I'm looking directly at it.
9 pick parlay plus 1,571.
9 pick parlay plus 2,496.
Did Goose add a different, like a couple more bets into a different parlay or something?
No.
I don't know. Either way, this podcast has gone too long. We were fucking robbed. And the only saving grace is that for Sunday Culver's tonight, they messed up my order and made two double hot fudge sundaes instead of one. And I only paid for one. And so now I have dessert for tonight and tomorrow. And that sugar is going to help me feel better about a Cooper Jean being fucking robbed in Iowa City yesterday. So, you know, lick your wounds for a couple weeks. I don't even know what the podcast is going to look like later this week. Maybe just a general college football pod. Maybe we just throw a little DHT up on Thursday for the main episode and let some people, you know, nibble on that. Maybe draw some people into the Patreon. Try and
I see. There's two voids, so it actually paid out 1571.
Yes, after the no contest, because there was a nut kick no contest, and there was a knee to the fucking dome no contest.
So it was plus 2500 going in. Only 1571 got paid out. That makes sense.
Yes.
Still awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Poppy.
Any other thoughts? Any last thoughts? You know, talk to the ref. Final statement.
I hope he gets run over by a train.
It would be advisable for his own personal safety probably to refrain from travel within the Eastern Iowa region.
Yeah. Don't show up to Santan Valley, Arizona either.
Yeah. We'll talk to you soon. Talk to you soon. See you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.